Two of my are there. What is here? What's the other? Discussing the question of free will in the context of the Makos, and then maybe we'll just, by way of introducing the problem, which I won't be able to really discuss thoroughly and comprehensively, because the matter needs extensive treatment, and I don't have sufficient time to do it. However, what I will do is just, by way of introduction to the topic, present a thesis of one of the great Mefarshim here, and if we have time, we'll get to the Rambam as well, which I xeroxed. I want to just show you the issue. But let's begin by looking at the Pesukim, and we'll examine the Pesukim, which are really, I assume, you are familiar with. Thank you very much. The beginning of Perek Gimel and Shmos, let's start in Parsha Shmos, in the context of the Sneh. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, he chose to lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is told he's going to become the leader. And in the course of that discussion that Hashem has with him, we have the following pasuk. Perek Gimel, let's start with Perek Gimel, pasuk Yutes. Hashem tells him, "Ani adati ki lo yitein Hashem melech Mitzrayim lahalach v'lo b'yok hazaka." That pasuk indicates that Hashem knows already, and he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, "Forewarned is forearmed, that melech Mitzrayim will not permit you to go v'lo b'yok hazaka." That means without a strong hand. Clearly, something is going to have to be done in order to coerce Paro to let people out of Egypt. So one can argue that this pasuk perhaps is not necessarily related to the issue of Bechira Chashis, free will, versus Yediyah. That's the conflict. The conflict is between Hashem's Yediyah, Hashem's foreknowledge, and our Bechira. Correct? The fact that we have free will. One could argue that this pasuk is talking exclusively about what? Yediyas Hashem. Because where does the pasuk begin? Vani Adati. We're simply talking about Hashem's foreknowledge. So there's no conflict yet between Bechira and Yediyah. You know what I'm saying, Yitzhak? That's what this pasuk specifically is referring to. But the Torah goes on to say in pasuk Chaf there, "V'shalachti esyodi v'kesi es Mitzrayim v'chol niflosai asher esa v'kirbo v'yachmei chen yishalach eschem." I spoke about this pasuk last week, and there are different interpretations of this pasuk. Some say it refers to Makos Bechoros, v'chol niflosai, because that's the Makkah that will lead to Klal Yisrael being released from incarceration. Others say it refers to Makos in general. But whatever the case is, it seems that there is a, as I said, a stira, a contradiction between the foreknowledge of Hashem and the so-called Bechira, which is one of the most fundamental principles of our Emunah. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Teshuva, the Bechira, there's no concept of Teshuva. Teshuva is predicated and founded and undergirded by the Yisod of Bechira Chashis, the free will. So now let's start looking at the Pesukim, and we'll see in a moment exactly where we see this contradiction. And maybe we'll look first in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, on page 134 of these Chumashim. I hope you have the same pagination. Maybe just give out the Chumashim so everyone can add. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I'm just going to show a lot of Pesukim right now. "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Belechtecha Lashuv Mitzrayma, Re'e Kol Amosim Asher Samti Biyadecha V'Asisim L'Nei Paro, V'Ani Achazek Es Libo, V'Lo Yishalach Es Ha'om." A clear statement that Hashem is going to harden his heart. When you go to Mitzrayim, look at all the Mosim I'm going to do, and I will harden Paro's heart, V'Lo Yishalach Es Ha'om. A very clear statement which indicates that Hashem is taking away from Paro Bechira Chavshis. Let's continue. Perek Zayin, which is in Blessed Pasha Vaira, Perek Zayin, Sukim Gimel and Dalet. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to be the leader, Aaron is going to be the Meturgeman, you will speak, and Aaron, in fact, will be the one that will, shall we say, articulate the message. And then it says, "Vani Akshe Esleit Paro." Page 141 in my text over here. Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, "Vani Akshe Esleit Paro, V'yabesi Esel Sosai V'Esel Sosai V'Esel Sosai." Hashem will harden the heart of Paro. "V'lo Yishma Lechem Paro," Pasuk Dalet, "V'nasati Esiyadim V'Mitzoyim, V'otzesi Esilvosai Esamim V'Esel V'Esel Sosai B'Shvatim Dolim." Hashem is going to punish them. Direct Hashem will, in effect, administer, mete out strong punishment to them. Otherwise, Paro will not release you from bondage. So here again, it seems to be, "Vani Akshe Esleit Paro," what is being taken away? The Bechira Chavshis. His free will, once again, is being negated, being undermined. And this is the second pasuk that I'm referring to. Let's continue. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And now we're talking about the makos that are being meted out. Let's take the makos of Dav. And a little bit later, Hashem is going to bring about the Makkah of Dam. But actually, prior to that, I'm sorry, I skipped a pasuk in Yudalit. I'm sorry. Perek Zayin pasuk Yudalit. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kavei Leit Paro Me'ein L'Shalachom. Paro refuses to let the people go. And after the Makkah of Dam, so the Torah says that the Chartumei Mitzrayim attempted to simulate the Makkah. Pasuk Chabez. And guess what? So here, how would you translate this? Is Hashem the one who's hardening his heart?
No.
It's a neutral kind of statement. Namely that his heart was hardened on his own. Of his own volition. This is not a raya against it. But now go to Tzradeya. Perches. Pasuk Aleph. Perches Pasuk. Not Aleph. Yud Aleph. Sorry. Pasuk Yud Aleph says. Vayar Paro ki hoysa harbacha. After the Makar Tzvadeh was removed, Behachbein Eslibo. What do you say to that Pasuk? Behachbein Eslibo, V'lo Shama Aleim, Kasher Dibur Hashem. Tell me, is that Paro doing the Hachbadat Aleim, or is that Hashem imposing it upon him? Not clear. You agree with me? Behachbein Eslibo. So here it's not 100% clear that Hashem is the one who's hardening his heart, perhaps it's Paro himself. But let's go on to Kinim, which is in Perakhes, Pasuk Tezvav. Tezbav, the Torah tells us, Vayomra Hatumim El Paro, Etzbalo Kimi. They also attempted to simulate the Makkah of Kinim, and they were not successful. And therefore they said to this Makkah, Etzbalo Kimi. And the response is, Vayechzak Le Paro, V'lo Shama Aleim, Kasher Dibre Hashem. So here it does not say that Hashem, Tizeges Le Paro, but Vayechzak Le Paro. Going on to Oro, Perches, Pasuk Chavches. Chavches, the Torah says, Oro, because it refers to which Makkah? The Makkah of beasts running amok. Pasuk Chavches. After Hashem removed the Oro, Vayachvei Paro Eslibo Gam Bapam Azos Lo Shilach Esahom. So here it's clear that it's Paro is the one who hardened his heart. No, not necessarily in every Makkah do we see Hashem hardening the heart of Paro. This also needs a lot of attention. A matter which I've examined over the years, but right now I'm not exploring that aspect of it. Dever, Perites Pasuk Zayin. Dever, of course, is plague, pestilence, brought about by animals running amok. Vayishlach Paro, Minelo Meis, Vimigla Yisrael Echad, Vayichbad Le Paro. Below, Shilach Esav. Here also, whom is responsible for the hardening of the heart? Vayichbad Le Paro, Paro himself. Shrin, Perites, Pasuk Yudbeis. There the Torah says, after the Makkah of Shvin, the Chaturim could not simulate that Makkah. Vayechazik Hashem Esli Paro, the pretty clear statement that Hashem takes away his Bechira. There's a very famous Medrash Tavchuma, which you probably, I assume, are familiar with. Rashi quotes it. The Medrash says there's a distinction between the first five Makkos and the subsequent five Makkos, correct? You came across that, Max? Yes. Joseph? The Medrash tells that the first five Makkos, Hashem didn't do anything. But the second five Makkos, Hashem was the one who hardened the heart of Paro. And this is what you have to examine, Max and Joseph, very carefully, to see if that Medrash is in sync with the text. Let me just mention one or two other Makkos. Arbe, Perek Yud. Look at Perek Yud. This is the beginning of this week's Pasha. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Baal Paro Ki Ani Hichbarati Esliva Vasei Vavoda. Leman Shisi Ososa Eile Bekirbo. Clearly, who's doing it? Hashem is hardening the heart of power with reference to Arbe. What about Poshef? Perek Yud, Pasuk Chav Zayin. There the Torah says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslei Paro, V'lo'ov the Shalchan. So the truth of the matter is, obviously in Makkos Becharos, there's nothing to talk about. One second. So what did we saw? What did we say with Bara? There, what was the language? We didn't mention Bara, did we? So the Makkah of Bara, if I'm not mistaken, correct. But there you don't find, means it's clear in Arba and Choshech, Hashem is Mechazek, Lein Paro. But it would seem that the Medrash, which indicated first five one way, the other five the other way, does not seem to be in sync with the Pesukim that we have here. This is one of the major conundrums that you have to deal with. I hope you will deal with it. And by Thursday, I hope to hear a response from my partners. You hear the question? It means you have to examine each of the psukim, each of the makos, see which ones the Torah seems to indicate clearly, but it doesn't seem to be in sync, in tandem with the Medrash Tavchuma that Rashi quotes. First five, he hardened his own heart. Last five, Hashem hardened his heart. Okay, I'm not That's a problem which you will deal with, I hope. But I'm just mentioning the issue to you because it's a very significant issue that has to be dealt with. By the way, did you read my piece that I wrote?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Thank you. Hashem, it's a very significant piece. I spent a lot of time on it. But I'm more interested today in discussing, as I said, the main issue, which has a different, many different angles to it. Let me just first present the problem at the beginning of Parshas Bo. Look at the beginning of Parshas Bo again, and we'll present the issue once again. I have hardened his heart. Why? Why else did I do it? So right away, the issue comes to the fore right over here. How do you reconcile Hashem's hardening Paro's heart with the fundamental concept of Bechira Chavshis? A free will, which as I said before, the Rambam counts in Hilchos Tshuva as being a prerequisite. According to the Rambam, you cannot have Tshuva without what? Without Bechira Chavshis. It's an impossibility. There's no possibility of Tshuva. As a matter of fact, not just Tshuva, but the most important concept we have in probably in our Hashgafa is the concept of Schar V'Onesh. And Schar V'Onesh is not possible without Bechira Chavshis. The Ramban writes in Chumash, I don't know if you encountered that, that the Yisod of Kol HaTanach is Schar V'Onesh. It's the entire Yisod, certainly of Sefer Bereishis, and Sefer Shmos, and the rest of Tanakh as well, all founded upon Schar V'Onesh. And again, as I said, how could you hold power responsible for his, how shall we call it? Obduracy. For his obstinacy. For his Akshonus. How can he be held responsible when he has no Bechira Chavshis? Now, the problem comes even further, is that the Torah says over here, why did Hashem harden his heart? For two reasons. Number one, in order that power himself should get the message, smell the coffee, wake up and smell the coffee. Number two, who else should, shall we say, gain from this? Baal Yisrael. That's Pasuk Beis. I discussed it last week. However, there's a problem. Another problem. One problem is, why was it necessary? What? Hashem had not yet shown enough osos and losin heretofore, prior to this point in time, that it was necessary now to continue. And beyond that, look in Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin says over here, Vayomru Abdei Paro Elov. What do they say to him? Ad Masai Hiye Zelonu Lemokesh. How much longer is this guy? Which guy? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be what? A Mokesh. Now, a Mokesh is a minefield. We don't like him. Get rid of that, shall we say, pest. Shalach es anashim v'yadu es Hashem Elokeim. What do they suggest to Paro? Let the people go. Let them serve their God. Haterem teidak yodam mitzvayim. Don't you know that Egypt is destroyed? But I have a question to ask you. If as the parsha began, Hashem hardened the hearts of not only Paro, but also whom? His servants. How could they demand of Paro that he release Klal Yisrael? A steer, I mean, they obey. Does that not trouble you?
Hardened in which way?
I'm sorry?
Hardened in which way? Maybe Hashem hardened their hearts in order for them to do this.
Maybe he hardened it. He didn't close it up.
Okay, there are two answers that are being suggested. Both have to be explored very carefully. I'm just raising the issue with you. That's not the issue I'm discussing tonight.
Is he really Bechira if he sees 10 Makos and is his view really fair then? When he sees 10 Makos, does he really have a choice to not let them go?
Ooh. This is what I'll be discussing momentarily. One moment. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaro.
Amen.
Both of what you suggested, you only spoke in a very brief fashion. I want to hear both theories explicated and propounded and really, shall we say, expatiated upon at great length. Because both theories we suggested, Yesh B'Zeh Mashu, what you said, and what both of you said, Shmuel and Yoni, but it needs to be, so maybe separately, I don't want to do it right now in the context of Shia, because that's not what the Shia is focused on. I would like to hear from you what you have to say. But I want to hear as I said, really spelled out, detailed resolution of this issue. Okay, let me go a little further. I beg of you. So what I'm going to share with you, there are many answers that we should have. One of them you have in front of you in the Rambam, which I'll probably read. I'll read second. But since Noah just said something, I want to comment on what Noah said. And what basically Noah said is the Svarno, one of the Mefarshim, who is unfortunately not so well known. People don't learn the Svarno, and my father Shalom. He raised me on the Svarno, and the Ababanel, and on the Hamban, and on the Rashi. The other Mepharshim was well along the way. And one of the Mepharshim I used to learn, the Ofen Kavua, was the Svarno. And I want to just suggest what the Noah actually said very quickly. I'm just going to spell it out a little bit further. And his underlying position is, And this is, I think, what Noah said, if I understood you correctly. When does a person have Bechira Chashis? Only if the alternatives confronting the person are genuinely equal. If there are equal alternatives that confront you, then you can speak about a person having Bechira Chashis. Means it's true that Paro might have freed the Jews had Hashem not hardened his heart. However, why would he have done so? Because I got to get rid of this pest of Moshe Rabbeinu, correct? I got to, shall we say, I cannot handle this guy. And the fact of the matter is that maybe even my people will revolt against me and the like. And if that's the case, then he would not have acted with what we call Bechira Chashis. That would not have been action based on what? Based on Bechira Chashis. Means essentially, it's no different than, shall we say, a criminal who surrenders at gunpoint. Although he might have released Klal Yisrael, he would have remained the same, how should we call him, tyrant, the same Bashar Assad, who had Syria, one of my favorite characters lately. The Egyptians perhaps would have misconstrued him as being a great liberator. And perhaps even in all probability, even members of Klal Yisrael would have concluded that Paro had a sincere change of heart, that he actually was a chayzer b'tshuva, he now has reverence to the Almighty, and perhaps he'll put on a shrimo and start dancing and singing. That's what Rabbi Olshin told me today. If I dance and sing, I'll be connected to Kedusha, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, that would have been the impression had Paro's heart not been hard. By the way, to his credit, it was a very beautiful sikha today. Very powerful sikha. I don't think I would have told the story that he told, but whatever. I would not be able to tell such a story in a thousand years. Whatever the case is, Rabbi Olshin is correct. There are two mahalchim that a person wants to connect to Kedusha. The first, of course, is Limud HaTorah V'Yun, as he mentioned, and the second is Dveikus Bashem. The question is how to get to that Dveikus, and that needs discussion. I don't think Rabbi Olshin only meant, shall we say, putting on a kippah that says, Na Nach Ma 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 Me'uman. I don't think so. I think what he meant was the, if you will, the Dveikus of the Breslov Chassidim that comes from Likutei Torah of Rav Nachman ben Breslov. I don't know if you're into Likutei Torah. Rav Nachman ben Breslov, I assume you are. I wasn't questioning you for a moment. You're not into it. As opposed to just, shall we say, all these na-na-na types who are all over the place. And those that, shall we say, at the chasnas, we see them, and they're dancing like yo-yos. I think there's a bit more to Breslov than the yo-yos who dance on the pogo sticks. Whatever the case is, that was just an editorial aside. So when Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu effected a hachbadas halev of Paro, he didn't simply remove Paro's ability to conform to Moshe Rabbeinu's request. What he did was, as Noah said, he equalized the alternatives before Paro. And this is the Sfarno's thesis. He says it throughout all these parshios. It's good to look into it inside. And despite the hardening of his heart, Paro could still have been impressed by all the nisim of Hashem. And even so, he could have acted on ethical grounds to free people who are enslaved for 210 years without giving them any legitimate compensation. He even have released them because of the welfare of the Egyptians. And the fact that his heart was hardened, essentially, what did it do? It served to immunize him against the natural apprehension of a person who's confronted with immediate danger. And that's why, one second, let me finish the point. And that's why Hashem never decreed that Paro should be abstinent. Because, as I said, Schar and Onesh are based on what? Bechira Chashis. Are based on freedom of will, freedom of choice. And in order that any retribution toward Paro would be completely fair, he had to be made a free agent. And that was accomplished by Hashem hardening his heart, by Hashem equalizing the past before him. That's what Noah said in one sentence. And I have to say it in many, many sentences. And the Sfarno here, Barichus, discusses this. And that's basically the hardening of Paro's heart showed his true nature. And therefore, now everyone would recognize that the reason why Paro is releasing Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim is not because of what? Of his benevolence. But rather, because he recognized the greatness of Hashem. That was the whole... Look, can I just finish one point and then you will... I promise I'll let you speak. Okay, believe that. I'm simply pointing out, and the Sfarno actually has a longer arichus on this topic. He says it so many times, he repeats this idea again and again and again, and I think that this yisod that the Sfarno says is very significant as far as Bechira Chashis is concerned. And notice, dafka, because Hashem wanted to protect the Bechira Chashis Paro, he had to alter the laws of nature. It means Hashem could have refrained from Hachbadas Lei Paro, and through a natural process Hashem could have brought Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. However, Hashem is only interested that a human being still maintain his free will. And that's why this concept, as I say, can only exist when there are, shall we say, true alternatives, true equal alternatives, two equal alternatives before a person. And with this, I once heard Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal, in the years that I was lucky to hear him, in the 60s, Rabban Soloveitchik commented on a famous Rambam. And I just want to just, and then you can speak, okay, before I get to my Rambam. That's my main issue tonight, is the Rambam that I have over here, that I Xerox for you. But there's another Rambam, that a very fascinating Rambam that you're all familiar with. And the Rambam actually discusses this in Perek Beis Hilchos Gittin, Hilchos Gershin, Halacha Chaf. The Rambam in Perek Beis, in the second chapter of Hilchos Gershin, Halacha 20, he has a famous din. And I assume you're familiar with this din. Rambam is Maimonides, the author of the Moreh Nevuchim and the Mishnah Torah, as opposed to Ramban, who's Nachmanides. I pronounce one Milel, one Milra, so you can distinguish between them. There is a din that the Rambam quotes, based on the Mishnah at the end of Gittin. The Mishnah at the end of Gittin, that sometimes Bezin can force a person to give a get to his wife. And the Rambam asks, how is that possible? How could Bezin force a person to give a get to his wife? The Gemara says, Kaifan Asachem Arotzai. What do you do? Correct you? Correct, you force him to give a get. And the question is, how could Bezin do that when it runs against the Bechira? Says the Rambam, the famous answer. Shane, Omrim Onus, you don't say this person's an Onus. He's doing something because he was compelled. When do you supply the concept of ones? L'misha nilchatz v'nitchak lasu davar shein l'muchiyu b'man ha-Torah. Someone who is obligated to do something and is coerced to do something that he's not obligated to do from the Torah's perspective. Avol, misha tokva yetzahara levatel mitzvah. A person who's yetzahara gets a hold of it. And as a result, he's levatel a mitzvah, he doesn't have avera. And we say, apply a little bit of some heat to him. Namely, by, shall we say, engaging in makis, till he does that which he's supposed to do, ain't ze onus. That's not called an onus. Who onus atzma b'daito hara? What did that person do? He coerced himself into behaving incorrectly, inappropriately. Lefika, zeshe ne rotsa legaresh. The guy doesn't want to give a get to his wife. Me'achashu rotsa liyos mi'Yisrael. But he wants to be a Jew. V'rotsa hu lasos kol ha-mitzvahs. He wants to do the mitzvahs. And he wants to distance himself from averus. V'yitza hu shetokvo. What got in the way is yetzer hara. Once he is, shall we say, subjected to Makkas, Achatoshas Yisrael, V'yomar Rotzani, and now he says, yes, I will divorce you completely, willingly. And then, what says the Rambam, he's considered to have divorced willingly. What in the nature of this Rambam? So, Asalvechik, when he came to this Rambam, he explained it along the following lines. In my days in New York City, there was a drain service called Roto-Rooter, and they used to come and clean drains. If the drains are clogged, and the picture that they used to advertise actually was a faucet, or if you will, series of pipes, and then you see all the clog, the grime and the grease, like God forbid a person has hardening the arteries, atherosclerosis. Of a similar nature, we have clogged sclerosis in the pipes. And so this Roto-Rooter service comes in, and then right away you have this shining and gleaming kind of look. And they had a jingle, and the jingle went, Rota Rota, that's what Rasalich is saying. Avego tumble down the drain, Rota Rota. So Rasalich said, that's what the Rambam here is talking about. The Rambam is telling you what you do is you bring in Rota Rota, and then will the real Joseph Stern emerge? What's the real Joseph? The real Joseph is a wonderful person. Not just the real Joseph, the other Joseph too. The real Joseph is a wonderful person. He wants to be Mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah. He wants to come to every Seder in Yeshiva. He wants to come to every minyan in Yeshiva. And the same thing that he said for Avishai David. He also wants to Mekayim all the mitzvahs. But Avishai David has a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara tells him, no. Hey, don't come to one minyan. Don't come to one Seder. Don't come to a second Seder. Don't come to another Seder. There's always the Sephardic minyan at 8 o'clock. There's always Machal Lev. There's always the bed. You know, all kinds of minyan.
So she
gives
him a Marcus to make them come shakar.
So I have to give myself Marcus. Anyway, so the point of the that really all of us, that's what they call the pindalee. You know what that means? Deep down, every Jew wants to do the right thing. By the way, Joseph is wonderful. So is Max. These are my two rabbis. I look forward to Thursday every single week, you should know. Besimcha. I have tremendous simcha from them. They ask me kashas that I don't know what to do. Yehuda, you could have joined. I'm not against it.
I still can.
You still can, if they permit you. I don't know if they'll permit you.
I have a kiosk.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
I'm not allowed to leave.
But they're learning Chumash Ve'ir. Anyway, Bekitzer, so, so the Rambam was bothered by this question. Of what value is the mitzvah if you are forced to fulfill it? So the answer is that the Rambam is saying the same is so. Namely, as a result of applying coercion, now the alternative is unequal. This is a very fundamental yisod, the Sfarno was saying. And the reason why I mentioned this Sfarno, because his approach really is, I would say, so fundamental, so basic, but it's not the approach of the Rambam and the Raivin and the Ramban that we're going to explore momentarily. Yes, you wanted to say something. Shubhi wanted to say, yeah.
You mentioned that Paro was freeing them, but when after Paro, when he runs, he's just saying that they can go worship Hashem. He never said that they could be freed.
That's a very good deal. It's an excellent deal you're making. So we have to examine all the psukim. You and I guess we're going to have to, you and I, examine those psukim. It's not so pashut, because there are other psukim. Did you look at all the psukim?
Probably not
that. Okay, we have to examine all the psukim.
Moshe always asks for your stuff.
Right.
What does he ask for?
For
a furlough. Yeah. I'm just asking for a furlough all the time. Okay, these psukim have to be read very carefully. I haven't read it carefully, so it's not, I'm not being fair. I want to share with you a Rambam that I have in front of you, a famous Rambam, that could either be aware of this Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva. You see Perek Vav?
Yeah.
The Rambam comes up with an idea which is so mind-boggling, but anyone who reads Tanakh encounters this idea according to the Rambam. I'm reading Perek Vav, Perek Shishi. Everyone have it? The Rambam says, this is Perek Shishi, Hilchos Teshuva. Psukim harbi yesh patar b'divin evim she'nirim kisos in ikot zeh. Looks like there are many psukim that seem to be what? Contradicting this ikot b'chir ha-chavshis. V'nichshol b'mehem rov ha-adam. Many people are nichshol. V'yala al-daik d'mehem, they think Shakadosh Baruch Hu goes to Adam l'asos ro, tova. By the way, there are people ad yom hazeh who feel that everything is predestined. I don't have any b'chir ha-chavshis. Things beyond my control are directing the course of my life. Everything's being orchestrated from above. Whomever you ascribe it to, whether you ascribe it to God or people ascribe it to other kinds of forces, I won't get into that right now. But the assumption is everything is predestined. I have no free choice, says the Rambam. I want to explain this principle. He's going to explain many psukim this. Namely, when people sin or a person sins, what's the din? He should be punished. That's the yisod of Kol HaTanach. Reward and punishment. He knows how to punish someone. There's one chet shadid no saying that he's going to be paid. He'll be punished in this world, or monetarily he'll be punished. Or his children, God forbid, will be somehow punished, and that will be an onish for him. It's the only time in Mishnah Torah, the entire Mishnah Torah, the Rambam uses such a lashon that a person's children means young children who have no das. And yanat yan mechunach, they are considered to be like his possession. Uksiv ish bechetu yumasu asher yasa ish. What a fascinating drasha that the Rambam has over here. That when do we say ish bechetu yumasu? When a person is called ish. When a person is not yet called ish, so then we hold tani mesim ba'avein aveisam. The Gemara says in Ksubas and elsewhere that a person, God forbid, can be punished for his chatoim by his children dying if they are, as I said, children who are very, very young, who have not yet come unto their own. And then the Rambam continues. Next side, halacha beis. Bamed ra'amurim, all this applies, bizman shel asa tshuva. Masa tshuva, person does tshuva, tshuva kitris, l'nei ha'peronos. What does the tshuva do? It's a tris. What is a tris? A shield in front of peronos. Fine, halacha gimel. And now we're coming to it. V'yesha sheyech to other, I'm sorry?
It's a shield from peronos.
A shield from peronos. The person does tshuva, so obviously what is he able to do with tshuva? He can wipe out and totally expurgate and eviscerate and completely, shall we say, erase. Okay? That which he did beforehand. Sometimes a person will commit a terrible sin of many chatoim. He is so wallowing in chet, he's such a rasha, he's so wicked, he's so conniving, he's so evil, he's so diabolical. You know what happens sometimes? He can't do tshuva anymore. You ever hear this thing? Shemoni mimenu atshuva. One moment before we get to names. Ve'manichol rishus losher merisha. We don't let him do tshuva. By the way, anyone who's learned Hilchos Teshuva, and you come across this name in the Perek Vavod Shuvah Halacha Gimel, what is your first reaction? No, besides the that's a healthy reaction. But besides that healthy reaction, what should your reaction to this be?
Question mark.
Exactly. Why rises Balderdash?
Eric,
that's correct. How is it possible that the Rambam can make a statement, and he's going to try to prove it as well?
I shouldn't help you. That,
one second. Right, right. But how is it possible that the gates of Tshuva should be closed even for the biggest rush in the world? The entire Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam. Have you learned Hilchos Tshuva carefully? You should. Rav Soloveitchik claimed that the Rambam wrote 10 prokim, corresponding to the 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The first two prokim are connected to Rosh Hashanah. Perek Yud, which is Avos Hashem, is connected to Yom Kippur. All the prokim in between are the other days of Tshuva. And you read the Rambam again and again and again. The Rambam repeats over and over and over and over again. Ein lecha davar ha'omim b'fnei ha'tshuva. Apilu Rosh Kol Yama. A person can do Tshuva. What in heaven's name is the nature of this statement? It is outright and absolute balderdash. So can we see just a little bit more before you?
On that statement,
yeah.
Is it that he physically isn't able to do Tshuva, or Hashem won't allow him to do Tshuva?
What does it say? Look at Lashon Rambam. Moni mimenu ha'tshuva. Sounds like Hashem does not allow him to do tshuva. He holds back his ability to do tshuva. Let him die. Let him what? Die and perish as a result of the chet that he did. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is sadistic. What is he? Sadism? He's a sadist? That's what he wants? Max, you hear what I'm asking?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, we saw at the beginning of the parsha, it says, Hitalalti.
Correct.
Hashem, and, I mean, our Torah translates it as amused with the Egyptians.
I mean, the word, in Hebrew, that word is a very, it's a word that has other connotations that are not so pleasant. Hitalalut. If someone is mitalel biyaladim, or someone, shall we say, abuses children, that's the term used for abuse.
Right, so he's like having
and so even sexual abuse, what?
No, it's almost like.
Yeah, exactly, what you are pointing out as far as. Elu Hashem is playing with the Egyptians, or if you will, abusing them and amusing himself along the way. Okay, that needs attention. By the way, that is clearly a very significant theme that you picked up on, and it's throughout the parsha, but it's not my issue right now. Anyway, the Rambam brings a raya. Look at the raya he brings. Number one, he brings a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Hashmein levam azeh. The Rambam says in Perek Vav that the heart of this nation should become what? Hashmein. Hashmein meaning fat. His ear should be heavy, clogged. People were disgracing and were mocking and literally treating with derision and ridicule and scorn the Nevi'im and Klomar, Chatu Britzona, the Yibul of Shoah. They sinned to such an extent. Till they were not permitted to do tshuva, shia marfei tshuva, which of course is the great therapeutic medicament, they weren't permitted. L'fikol kasabat Torah. Now, that's how the Rambam explains the chizak the slave paro. What does the Rambam say? Paro is the what? Epitome. Paro is the quintessence of this kind of a persona. Namely, next four lines. L'fi shechata me'atzma t'chila. He committed sins. V'heira li Yisrael ha'gorim ba'arzo. He caused us evil, Shenema Haba Nisakwalo, so Hashem decided he is wallowing in evil to such an extent. Nasan Hadin Lenoa Chum Mena Shenifim Meno, Lefika Chizek Ash Brochas Liba. Is this the position of the Sparno that I mentioned earlier? Certainly not. Absolutely no connection to the Sparno's approach, which by the way is not only the Sparno's approach, other Rishonim also adopt that approach. But the Rambam says a person can wallow in evil to such an extent where he loses the ability to do tshuva. One second. I just read a bit further. Can I just go a bit further? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Doesn't the Ramban say he quotes the Ramban and also the Sforno, so they're both right, basically?
The Ramban, by the way, deals with several of these positions that you said correctly. Okay, we'll see if that. We should examine the Ramban too and the Ravid. But let us want to examine the Ramban a bit further. What's our second more? The Fikar Chizak has brought us. Leave a Velamo Yashalach Lo Biad Moshe Ve'omer. Next page. Shalach Vasei Tshuva. So then he doesn't understand the Ramban. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro? If he's hardening his heart and not permitting to do tshuva, why is he sending Moshe? I keep telling Moshe to tell Paro, let my people go, which means do tshuva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, it's not going to happen. What's going on here? Hashem told Moshe, it's not going to happen. He's not going to let your people go unless I go ahead and, shall we say, throw the book at him, and on. So the Rambam goes on to say, how do you reconcile these conflicting desiderata? So he writes in fourth line, "Kedei lodiyah lebayi olam shebizman shemoneh HaKadosh Baruch Hu tshuva lachotzei en yocholosh." When Hashem decides, I'm taking away the power of tshuva, you will not be able to do tshuva. Yomus pervisho shasav b'schila b'tzona. By the way, Rambam goes on to say, this is not just Paro, he's the most famous. But there are others, such as Sichon. Sichon melech ha'elori. Where did Rambam get such an idea from? He calls Pesukim. L'fi avonu sh'olilo nishayim l'manu menat tshuva. Shenema, there's a pasuk. This is a pasuk that's found actually in Sefer Dvarim. It says over there, ki hikshu Hashem elokecha zrucho ve'imei sesavavo. Hashem, pardon his heart. Next, v'chein haknanim. Hashem v'knanim. This is Pesukim in Yehoshua. L'fi tu avoseyem manu menem ha'tshuva after osim l'chamam Yisrael shenema k'meis Hashem oysa l'chad gezlibom l'chas al-lacham es Yisrael l'man achrimah. Means Hashem had a, shall we say, already an ulterior motive. He wanted to destroy them. So he, shall we say, convinced them to go ahead and go to war against us, even though it was a futile kind of effort. And they weren't able to do tshuva. They wouldn't have done milchama b'klal Yisrael. V'chein Yisrael v'meil yol. Let me just give you a few more examples. V'shehiru l'pshoa, mana osam hamam l'pshoa tshuva. Eliyahu HaNavi also the same thing. And he brings one or two other rayas. And this is the shitas Rambam that Paro, literally, Hashem took away from him the ability to do tshuva. Let me just make one comment, and then you can speak, and that is the following. I assume you are aware that a number of years ago, we've had several prime ministers in this country who are constantly involved with one issue. What issue is that? The issue I'm referring to is the issue of... Correct. The issue of the Palestinians, or the issue of somehow consummating some sort of a peace treaty with the Palestinians. A number of years ago, we had more than one prime minister, but we had one specific one who decided he's going to give away approximately what percentage of all, I would say 90%, more than 90%? 95% of?
Around that, of like the Shomron.
Correct. 95% of the West Bank, give it back to the Arabs. And, as a matter of fact, part of the equation was also to give back the Arabis. The area of the Kotel HaMaravi, or give to them. What is called, shall we say, because since they are such peaceful types, and we know they are pursuing peace, they are Rodfe Shalom, the Ave Shalom.
They are.
Oye, Miss Abrios.
They definitely wrote that.
So we decided we have to, shall we say, show good faith. And the good faith was we're going to give away 95% of a rather large swathe of land, including the area of the Harbayas, and the Kaisal Barabi, which would be leased to us if they would, shall we say, in their kindness and generosity, be willing to let us dive in there and the like. And I said to myself, at the time, Arafat was, of course, running the show. There's no way he's going to say no to this. What was his reaction to this? Yet, with a capital N. N-Y-E-T, which means, in Russian?
No.
B'shum panel ofen. I said to myself, correct. What is he, off his rocker? That is for sure. But, what has he lost it? Look at the offer. There's nothing more generous than any possible prime minister of the state of Israel could possibly offer. And he said no. And he's not the only one who said no. Many have said no. And I'm convinced beyond convincing. Then why did he say no?
Hashem
hardened his heart. I'm convinced beyond convincing because any rational person would have just taken it and run. The offer was the most generous offer that the Israeli government could possibly give, even though I was against it completely. I thought the Prime Minister then lost his mind. And no Prime Minister since has made such an offer. But there's no question in my mind that akshonus can only be understood in light of this Rama. Similar to what happened to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, that Hashem hardened his heart. And so too, the heart of the Arabs was hardened as well. Why? Because the Rebbe Shalom wants to make a Pesukim in Tanakh, Kano Kinesi Yerushalayim Kina Gedola, and Hashem will not permit them to sign such a treaty. You don't have to accept my theory, Joseph and Max. But I'm not theory. I'm 1,000% convinced that it's right. Yes, you have a few comments here. Yeah, okay, first.
I just wonder, doesn't a concept also all the examples the Rambam is giving is on a national level and at a rulership level? So doesn't also the concept exist that Hashem can basically interfere with the free will of nations, certain governments?
There's no question. We have a Pasuk in Tanakh, Leid Melachim V'Sarim V'Yad Hashem. Kechol Asher Yachpot Siyatena. When it comes to kings, when it comes to heads of state, there's no question that they are puppets in the hands of the Almighty. The Almighty directs traffic all the way. And we, again, Klal Yisrael always has to see what's happening around us in terms of ourselves. I mentioned this last week, but I mentioned the Ran, I mentioned the Rashi and Tzfanya, in Parshas Vayera, if you recall, that last week I discussed it. It's only a week ago. Where Hashem is brought, essentially, he's trying to send messages to us. But often we don't get messages unless the Almighty brings them very close to home. Those who live in the Middle East, as you are this year and as I am, on an ongoing, permanent kind of basis, Baruch Hashem, we see this all the time. I see constant messages being directed to me personally and to Klal Yisrael here in the state of Israel. I'm talking about what's going on around us. There's no question about it that this, as they call the Arab Spring, I love that term, the Arab Spring that they describe, which is happening right now, is clearly to me a message being sent to Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, not only Klal Yisrael living in the state of Israel, Klal Yisrael, I would say, everywhere, the world at large. And that message to me is a very powerful one. But in terms of what you just said, your comment, this Yisod of the Rambam, you see it many times in Tanakh. The Rambam gave you a few mashalim. The other day we were learning Melachim Aleph.
So is he speaking right now on a national or on an individual level?
Well, the Rambam seems to be speaking, Lechura, he's talking about Paro, Sichon, but then he also mentioned the Klal Yisrael during the days of Eliyahu HaNavi, and he also mentioned...
Sichon and Paro were both rulers.
Leaders, they were obviously rulers of major countries. Yes, but this is saying the Yisod, you see in the Rambam, that the Rambam has, you also see many other times. I mentioned the other day in Melachim Aleph, if you recall, they're correct. This Yisod is found everywhere in Tanakh. I'm telling you, if I were to show you how many times Tanakh were to be found, you would be astounded. It's found by Shimshon, it's found over there in the case of Rechavam, and many, many other times Tanakh we find this Yisod. It's an amazing thing, because sometimes you ask yourself, why would the person act so irrationally? You just don't understand. Paro seems to be completely irrational. He sees what's happening, maka after maka after maka after maka after maka. What would be the normal reaction of any person who is, shall we say, a sentient human being, a rational human being? Surrender, the white flag. He doesn't do that. Clearly there are forces operating here that are beyond his control. And the same applies in many other situations. The Almighty has a plan. Ribbono Shel Olam has a clear tichnun that he operates with. And by the way, I see this tichnun because to me, because I'm a religious Jew, and I see all of history, not just Jewish history, but world history, to me, and I see Tanakh, and to me everything is, shall we say, coming slowly but surely. I point out this many times, I don't know if you agree with me, it seems to me the last 100 years of history has been more frenetic than the last 1,000 years. This man is fixated. I am telling you what I see in the last 100 years. Do you know what's happened in the last 100 years in world history and obviously in Jewish history as well? Mind-boggling events. What am I talking about? What's happened in the last 100 years besides the Holocaust? Besides the founding of the State of Israel? What else? What other events which to me are absolutely mind-boggling? I wouldn't have imagined such events in probably hundreds of years. Besides the Six-Day War. Correct. The dismemberment of the Soviet Union. I don't know if you read about the Soviet Union. I would not have imagined that in 1,000 years. What else? Even, what? Yes, okay. But I don't think, again, I can give you a whole list of events. I see history in such a frenetic, wasn't it? I'm not referring to those kind of events, actually, scientific, exploratory events. I'm referring more to, shall we say, a massive historical phenomenon. Right now, I see the Middle East, by the way, we're not far away from that. We're not far away, God forbid, but we're not far away from it. The moment Iran develops nuclear weaponry, which will be in a very short span of time, and the United States now is beginning to try to wake up and smell the coffee and impose all kinds of sanctions and what have you.
But
what?
Change is coming.
I love your president.
Next election.
Would you say, I love it.
Would you say Hashem is
what was the first message you told me again?
It might come.
No. It's for the natural election.
Yes, we can.
And now? Change is coming. I love these politicians. I love them. Sheker! My sheker! More sheker! And more sheker! Yes. What?
I think on the contrary, I think it'd be logical for Paro not to let
why?
Because, I mean, think about it. They were slaves for 210 years. They're basically, the Mitzrayim are basically depending their whole economy on the Jews to survive. And let's say Paro allows them to go, he basically is destroying his economy. And furthermore, as the Makos are going on, they would need the Jews even more because they need more work.
They're building up two places where they're really doing absolutely nothing.
No, I would say that the Mitzvah answer that. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's what they say when Av the Mitzrayim. That would answer exactly.
I think there's a response.
Saying, that
passage I mentioned before earlier, I think it was a response of the Egyptians to this claim. Haterem teida ki Av the Mitzrayim. You're right. There was economic prosperity because of the Jews, because of slavery and the like, but it's clear that they had reached really almost the point of no return. By the way, that happens, as you know, in many nations who the rise and fall of many empires. We're quite familiar with that. Anyway, the kids and Nimrods. But what I presented here tonight was really a tip of the iceberg. Just to give you a bit of insight into two approaches. One, the approach of the Sforno, that I happen to like very much his approach. And I give many mishnah for the Sforno also, and the other is the approach of the Ramban. Now, as Daniel mentioned, you also have here the Ramban and the Raivid. Many mishnah have a field day with this issue. It's designed to explore this issue. It's a very fascinating issue, one that lies in the very heart of our entire Hashkafas Haselam, namely Bechira Chavshis, which is really a fundamental question. Okay.
What was the timeline on the partition of the Makos?